It's Saturday night, and Damien Hurd is longboarding to an off-campus party at Western State, Colorado University. There's nothing that would indicate this is an exceptional event, but this is the last party Damien will ever attend. The details of that night will soon come under close scrutiny, because in just 4 days, a college freshman will be found dead. What happened to Damien Hurd, and who, if anyone, is responsible? From Cold Case Productions, this is Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. Episode 2, The Party. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Thanks for listening. It was April 2014 when I first came across the story of Damien Hurd. I was an editor at the Daily News website Culture Map Dallas, and I'd just finished working on a major investigative series about a faked home invasion. I was knee-deep in complicated true crime reporting. Damien's story stood out to me for several reasons, but it boils down to this. It's a story of a boy who goes off to college and doesn't come home. For over 6 years, I've kept a file on Damien's case in my office. In that time, I've written articles for multiple outlets about the scrappy wrestler whose life ended suddenly and with many unanswered questions. But I've never been satisfied with the conclusions others have drawn in this case. When I was approached about hosting a true crime podcast in 2018, it didn't take me long to realize that the life and death of Damien Hurd was pitch perfect. The police conducted 47 interviews, and the audio recordings have never before been heard by the public. The crux of the police investigation is a party that Damien attended the last night of his life. It's a night I've spent 6 years studying, and one I now need your help to understand.
It just seemed like a standard night at the wrestler's house partying or whatever. The whole team was there.
The last night of Damien Hurd's life, he went to a house party thrown by his wrestling teammates. He jumped on his longboard, but made what would turn out to be a critical stop along the way. And that's just the beginning of a night filled with unforeseen consequences and chain reactions, including the biggest question of all. Did Damien ask for a confrontation that could have led to his death?
I thought he was just, you know, joking around, just lying, like just trying to be hardcore.
The wrestler's party was a casual gathering, and many people came and went throughout the night. By most accounts, the party started around 8 p.m. and ended around 1 in the morning. By that time, there had been at least 2 altercations involving Damien, and lots of conflicting statements about who did what and why.
I remember him being drunk and everything, and then I was like, you know, this party's a little too crazy, and I was like, I'm going to go home.
When Damien's father reports him missing, police are called in to investigate the events of the party and to piece together the drunken night the best they can.
Honestly, I was pretty intoxicated that night. I'd been drinking quite a bit.
That's wrestling captain Kyle Pyatt, one of Damien's best friends and his former roommate. The party took place at his house on North Taylor Street in Gunnison, Colorado.
Saturday, Damien was over at your house.
Yeah.
Detective Grace Cowan interviewed Kyle on the morning of April 2nd, 2014.
Can you tell me kind of what happened there? And
that night, we had some people over hanging out, and he got into it with another kid.
Damien's fight is a key moment at the party, and we know it took place in the front yard of the wrestling house. But only a few people actually saw what happened. Detective Chris Danos spoke with a smattering of wrestlers. Junior Elliot Copeland.
While you're at your house during the party, a fight occurs out in the front?
Yes.
Were you aware of that at the time?
No.
Sophomore Zach Schenk.
Did you see that actually take place?
No, I didn't. I was in the house.
And junior Kyle Pyatt.
I didn't see the fight or anything about that.
Even the people who did see the fight weren't sure what they were seeing.
I witnessed an altercation between Damien and one other kid. I don't actually know his name.
Or even remember what time the fight occurred.
So this fight, did it happen before you guys went to the party or during the party?
I guess it was during the party. Pyatt was all mad and everything was just crazy.
What time did all that take place?
I think it was earlier in the night. It seemed earlier.
Like what was earlier?
It's probably around 10:30, 11.
I kind of got in his face and we kind of got into it.
What time was that?
It was about, honestly, I don't really know. And I don't want to give you, it was pretty late. I'd say after 12.
Police eventually did nail down one salient fact. The fight was between Damian Hurd, a member of the wrestling team, and Anthony Rios, a member of the track team. Anthony had recently started dating Damian's ex-girlfriend, Marlena Romero, and Damian had made it known that he wasn't happy about it. In fact, at a party the night before, on Friday, Damian punched a refrigerator after seeing Anthony and Marlena together. Damian's friend and neighbor, Jessica De Aquila, says it wasn't uncommon for the freshman wrestler to get physical.
He's always hot-headed. That's how I describe him. He was a hot-headed kind of kid. He was a little guy, but he could stand his ground, you know, and he could get upset very easily.
On Saturday night, Damian invited Anthony to the party at Kyle's house in a terse text message at 10:49 p.m. Damian texted Anthony the address of the wrestler's house and the words, "If you down." Anthony responded 2 minutes later, "I'm coming." It doesn't sound like much, but could those simple words have set events in motion with fatal consequences? Freshman wrestler Devin Zavala described the scene this way.
When he said that he's on his way, Damian waited outside for him, and then as soon as Damian saw him, I guess he ran up on him and jumped on his back.
The fight was really more of an ambush, and it played out as something of a turf war between the wrestling team and the track and field team. This is Dylan Weinchant, a Western student who attended the party at the wrestler's house and called in a tip to the police.
Because the kid that Damian basically jumped was on the like track team, and the friend that I was with was one of the track team captains, and he broke up that fight.
The police contacted Anthony Rios to get his account of the fight, but for whatever reason, they didn't record his statement. This is the written description attributed to Anthony in the police report. "Once I saw Damian, he began screaming and cussing at me. Damian seemed like a different person. At first I thought Damian was messing with me, because it was so unlike him to act like that. He wrapped me up around the waist and took me to the ground. Then Damian punched me in the face and head while I was on the ground. Damian also missed me several times and hit his fist on the ground. Some of the other wrestlers pulled Damian off of me, and some of my cross-country team members grabbed me and we left." The fight between Damian and Anthony occurred sometime after 11 p.m., and it appears to have been the seminal event of the party. The altercation changed the tone of the night, and even though the fight itself didn't last very long, the effects of it are still palpable, years later. In the immediate aftermath, the results were already obvious. Here again is wrestling captain Kyle Pyatt speaking with Detective Grace Cowan.
"I heard about the fight, and I confronted Damian about it because it was at my house, and I don't really want fights at my house, mm-hmm. So I kind of got in his face and we kind of got into it, but..."
But no physical contact at
between
all?
"Me and him, no."
Okay.
Kyle's description of this heated interaction with Damian would later evolve to include physical contact, and at least one person saw Damian in a headlock with Kyle's arm around Damian's neck.
"I saw Pyatt take Damian into the laundry room."
This is Morgan Lambert, another Western State student who attended the party on Saturday night. She's talking to Detective Chris Danos and refers to Kyle by his last name, Pyatt.
"When you said you saw Pyatt take him into the laundry room, what does that mean?"
He had him in a headlock. He was just trying to get Damian to calm down.
"In my mind, when you say he was walking him in a headlock, envisioning his arm being around Damien's head with Damian looking down at the floor."
"No, he was looking like across the room. He wasn't like holding him like super tight to the point where like he couldn't move."
"Uh-huh."
"It was just like..."
"He had his arm around his shoulder type of thing?"
"Around his like neck."
"Around his neck? Okay."
"You could just tell that Damian was kind of sad, and so I just like asked him if he was okay, and he pretty much just acknowledged the fact that like he was being dumb and he shouldn't have gotten that fight."
In light of the fight, I wanted to understand, as best I could, Damien's state of mind that night. But what you believe about Damien's condition at the party depends a lot on who you ask. Damien's friend Jessica De Aquila lived across the alley from the wrestler's house and arrived at the party around 10 p.m.
And I wasn't drinking or anything, but everybody else was pretty drunk.
What about Damien? How was he?
He was drunk as well.
Police also heard more mild descriptions about Damien in their interviews.
That night, do you remember if he was intoxicated?
I remember a beer or two, but...
That's one of Damien's wrestling teammates, Devin Zavala, who goes by the nickname Bubba.
Would you know if he was really intoxicated?
Oh yeah, he'd probably be sleeping already.
Wrestler Zach Schenk said Damien seemed coherent before and after the fight.
I guess the best question is, have you seen Damien when he's really, really drunk?
Yeah, absolutely have.
And on this night, how would you gauge that between the worst you've seen him?
Like a 1 to 10 scale, I'd say he's probably a 5, maybe.
He wasn't stumbling.
No, not at all.
Type of thing.
But other partygoers saw things a bit differently.
Hi, I'm calling regarding Damien Hurd.
Okay, I'm Detective Grace Cowan.
That's Samantha Braun, a Western student who called in a tip to the Gunnison Police Department after Damien went missing.
I was with him Saturday night.
Okay.
Until about 10:30. And Damien, he was literally out of his mind. He may have smoked weed that night, and he may have drank. Okay. But I'm 100% sure he was on acid.
As far as I can tell, that's the first recorded mention of Damien being on acid. Using Damien's cell phone records, I learned that before he rode to Kyle Pyatt's house on his longboard, he was trying to buy drugs. Or as Damien put it in a text message, "I'm just looking for some fun shit." It was no secret that Damien, like many college kids, experimented with drugs. In Colorado, marijuana is legal, and Damien was known to smoke weed.
He was upfront and honest with me about all that stuff.
That's Damien's father, Gary Hurd.
And we talked about it, you know, the possible harm that it could do if you don't do things in moderation. And so we'd have conversations like that, you know, yeah, I understand you're in college, I understand that, you know, you need to unwind and let off some steam here and there, you know, but do it in moderation. Don't get hammered, don't be a fool, you know, don't get into the hard drugs and things like that.
Here again is Detective Danos talking to wrestler Zach Schenk.
Is he the kind of guy that would try other drugs besides smoking weed?
I mean, it probably wouldn't surprise me, no.
Why is that?
He just, like, always seemed like he wanted to do everything, like, he was down to do anything, like, he never, like, he always just wanted to have a good time, so it wouldn't surprise me if that happened or that it came up.
Based on Damien's text messages, the night of the party, he referenced wanting acid, Adderall, or, quote, something upper. We know that Damien arrives at an off-campus apartment around 6 p.m. He makes a purchase from a Western student named Curtis Markham and heads to the party. A few minutes after making his first drug buy, Damien is at Kyle's house, texting friends about coming to the party later. And soon, Damien is asking his dealer, would I be able to get $25 more? By 7 p.m., Damien has participated in a second drug buy. At this point, I had to wonder, is Damien only buying drugs for himself or for other people as well? A little acid goes a long way, and around the same time as the drug runs, Damien is texting a girl about a date and hanging out with friends at the party, many of whom weren't under the impression that Damien was high. His actions seem to represent two different realities, one where Damien is out of his mind, getting into fights while tripping on acid, and another where he's chilled out, lucid, and making plans.
I got back at around 8:30. I sat in the back of our house looking with Damien for probably 45 minutes, just talking.
This is Courtney Birch, one of the four roommates at the wrestler's house on North Taylor Street.
Then he was still in love with Marlena.
Courtney remembers talking to Damien about his ex-girlfriend, Marlena Romero, the girl that Anthony Rios was now dating, and the source of Damien's first fight of the night. Being a freshman, Damien might not have realized that the history of wrestlers at Western getting into fights off the mat was a sore subject with the upperclassmen. After years of gaining a reputation for being brawlers, the 2014 wrestling team was trying to turn over a new leaf.
I remember vaguely that Pyatt was just really upset that he'd brought that kid, that he had fought that kid outside of Kyle's house, because we are trying to completely rid ourselves of that, and I know that made Kyle really mad that he'd done it at the house, and like all that had happened. So that's what Kyle was yelling about.
This post-fight confrontation between Damien and other members of the wrestling team created a complicated backdrop for Damien's disappearance, and the varying accounts of the event fueled suspicions of foul play. Zach Shank was also part of the confrontation after Damien's fight with Anthony Rios.
He like, dude, my hands broke, so I looked at that, and his hand was really swollen. He's like, Kyle's mad at me for something I did, and I was like, I didn't ask him about it. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go talk to Kyle. So, and then I went to go talk to Kyle about it, and then Kyle, he really didn't want to talk about it either. He was pretty angry about the whole thing, so I was like, okay. I went back, and Damien, he wasn't there anymore.
Based on police interviews, Kyle's confrontation with Damien probably took place around midnight. Kyle said after they yelled at each other, they both left the house to cool off.
I went on a walk, and some people said he left too. I came back, and I seen him when I came back, and I was still kind of upset with him, so I went to a football party.
Wrestler Elliot Copeland, another roommate at the house on North Taylor Street, also described the altercation between Damien, Kyle, and Zach for Gunnison Police. He refers to Devin Zavala by his nickname, Bubba.
When did you become aware there was a fight?
As I was going to my bed, as I was heading to my bedroom, Bubba, Devin Zavala, he was in our living room, and I was like, I'm going to bed.
So this is 12:30?
Like, yeah, and Bubba was like, yeah. He was like, sorry about what happened outside or whatever, and I was like, well, what happened outside? Because I wasn't aware that a fight had happened. And he was like, oh, Damien got into a fight with a track kid out in the front. And I'd seen Kyle and Damien, like, getting into an argument earlier in the night, but I hadn't known what it was about.
Where was that at?
And I didn't think anything of it.
Where were they at when they were getting in the argument?
I think they were in the living room. I was in the kitchen, and what I saw was just, like, Kyle was just kind of yelling at Damien, and Damien and Shank were just, like, walking into the back room together.
And how were they walking?
Shank was, like, had Damien picked up and was kind of just, like, carrying him out of there.
Okay. And was Damien angry? Was he, like, physically out of control or something? Why was Shank, why did it appear Shank had to carry him?
I didn't really know what was going on at the time. After the fact, I think Shank was just kind of getting him out of the situation, because I think Kyle was heated about him getting a fight in our front yard.
How long do you think they were in the back room, do you know?
No clue. I don't remember seeing him come back out.
Okay. Did you see Damien after that? After Shank walked him into the back room?
I don't think so.
According to Zach Shank, by 1 a.m., Damien was lying down in the back room of the house, which belonged to his wrestling teammate, Andrew Morris, who goes by the nickname Ammo. Here is Zach Shank describing the scene to Detective Danos.
He was, I think, like, sleeping in Ammo's room, or, like, okay. He wasn't sleeping, he was just laying down.
Where was he at in Ammo's room?
Like, on the ground next to the bed. He was just kind of sitting there on his phone.
One of the last text messages Damien sent was to Destiny LeHue. The two friends had been texting back and forth earlier in the day, but several hours had passed without any contact. Seemingly out of nowhere, Damien texted Destiny again at 11:30 p.m.
It was the only text message I had gotten from him in a while, and it was about him telling me that he was a messed up person. And I just couldn't understand, and I couldn't get a hold of him. I mean, I never got a message back.
The exact text that Damien sent Destiny read, I'm a fucked up person.
Is that a normal text message to get? But you're saying it wasn't at all.
No, not at all. You know, and he, like I said, he was a very happy person. You know, we all had our own demons, you know. So when he sent me that, I was like, this isn't Damien. Like, what do you mean? And then, like, never heard from him again.
Data recovered from Damien's phone shows that shortly after 1 a.m., his text conversations abruptly came to an end, and his plans to meet up with one girl stopped in mid-motion.
I texted him around 1-ish, and in the morning, which was on Saturday, so Sunday morning.
This is Lacey Miller, another student at Western State.
I asked him what he was doing and if he wanted to hang out, and he never responded until around 1:15, 1:20-ish, and he said he asked me to come over to his dorm. And so I texted him back and I said, yeah, sure, the messaging app that we were on, it shows if they've read it or if the text mm-hmm. message even sent and delivered. Mm-hmm. And so that text message sent and delivered and you read it. I waited a little bit and so I was like, we're heading over. Well, that text message just sent, it didn't even deliver. So I thought that was a little weird. So around like 1:30, I called him and his phone was off. And so I just thought he was like blowing me off for some reason.
One possible reason Damien stopped answering Lacey's texts was because he was hanging out with another girl, Tori Boyle.
I was contacting you because you were the last call or the last dial number off of Damien Hurd's phone.
That's Gunnison Police Detective Chris Danos interviewing Tori.
And you were explaining at that time you received a text around 12:50 a.m.?
Yeah.
From Damien saying he was bored, asking you to come over to the wrestling house there off of Taylor in Denver, right?
Yes.
And it was my understanding you got over there around 1:15 a.m.?
Yeah.
And Damien was in
Andrew's
Morris's bedroom by himself under a blanket on the floor.
To this day, no one, not the police, not Damien's teammates or his friends, can explain why Damien left the wrestler's house that night. If he was going to meet Lacey at his dorm, why didn't he respond to her messages? Did anyone else send Damien a message that night, diverting his plans?
Do you know how Damien communicated with his phone? I mean, it seemed like he texted a bunch. Is there another, like, maybe a texting app? Because I've seen text messages on other people's phones from Damien, but they're not on Damien's phone as text messages.
At least one example of those missing text messages is the exchange between Anthony Rios and Damien Hurd. Anthony showed the police the text on his phone, but when Damien's phone was examined, the thread didn't exist. What else is missing from Damien's digital history, and could it explain when and why he left the wrestler's house? This is Damien's father, Gary Hurd.
People had messages on their phone, but Dee didn't have messages on his phone. So somehow, some way, Damien's messages got deleted.
Did you ever get into Damien's Facebook account?
I did.
Were there messages from that night? From Saturday night? Friday night? No.
Nothing. I'll tell you another curveball. Not even the message that I sent him was there.
Okay, that's crazy.
Surveillance footage captured the last known images of Damien's life as he filled up his tank with $25 worth of fuel at 1:36 a.m. and drove off into the night, never to be heard from again.
At what point do you see the video of Damien at the gas station?
I did not see that until 9 days after Damien was found.
On the next episode of Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd, Damien doesn't show up for a shift at work on Sunday, setting off a missing persons investigation.
I had texted him, I had called him, I had emailed him.
What did you think had happened when he wasn't getting back to you?
I had all kinds of things going through my mind, to be honest with you.
I mean, I was worried, I was nervous, it just didn't feel right.
And nobody's heard from him?
No, we've been looking for him, everything, nothing. It's just like he disappeared.
Final Days on Earth is recorded in Dallas, Texas for Cold Case Productions in partnership with Podcast One and Live by Live. Each episode is written, reported, and produced by me, Claire Sanimal. Original theme music composed and performed by Riley Simmons. Songs licensed from premiumbeat.com are Bending Truth and A Thin Line. Editorial consultant is Lucy Scott of lucymedia.com. Additional production help from Amber Robinson, Janice Sue, and Elise Weber. Executive producers are Sharon Richards and me, Claire Sanimal. Special thanks to Gary Hurd, Destiny LeHue, and Chris Allen for talking to me in this episode. Tune in next week as we continue our search to understand what happened to Damien Hurd and who, if anyone, is responsible.